dating now, it's a relief for me. And as a matter of fact, I got more attention being bald than I did when I wore a wig. Because when you wear a wig, it's kind of like you blend in. You're just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. But it says a lot to a man to see a woman with no hair and still be confident. Mm-hmm. Or own her femininity and just still walk in it and walk in her truth and be confident and say, this is me. And so, you know, when a guy meets me now, like, what you see is what you get. And it kind of feels good not to have to hide that.
Hello and welcome back to the Very Nearly Almost podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Sullivan. This week's episode is so special. My guest today is Felicia Flores. She is the founder of BaldyCon, and she is just a vivacious beacon of light. We had a really fun means of meeting at the 2023 NAF conference, and her energy is just so infectious. And I so appreciate how much ground we covered in this conversation. We talked a lot about alopecia and dating, disclosure, fashion, all these different things that I know are on the minds of people with hair loss so much. And Felicia, you were just such a ray of sunshine to speak with, and I'm so excited about the progression and the development of BaldyCon. She talks about sort of her, you know, inspiration for creating that event for people with hair loss of all types and their support folks. So give it up for Felicia Flores. She is this week's guest, and she is a breath of fresh air, y'all. Felicia, thank you so much. I am so excited to be here with Felicia Flores. We met at the alopecia conference, of all places, on the dance floor.
Yes, oh my gosh. I was like, oh my gosh. And your moves was killer. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's dope.
You too. I was a little shy because, like, it was my first conference, and I did a panel with some of my girlfriends from New York. And so I'm coming into the dance party. I've got my jumpsuit on and I'm just like, okay, like, here. And everyone's so friendly. Like, there's literally no reason to be shy at the alopecia conference, but you immediately were like, come join me and my girls. We're dancing. Like, we just like became friends, and you were just so encouraging and fierce and sweet. And I just embodying everything that like an alopecia, like, confident lady. And I was like, she's amazing. And you made me feel so included.
Oh, thank you. There you were. You was killing it on the dance floor. I'm like, I need her with me at every party, at any kind of, look, when it's a dance floor, we need to hit that dance floor, because you was hitting the moves. And I was just like, oh yeah, she is so dope. And your confidence just radiated. I was like, I want to be like her.
I felt that it's so funny too, like with energy, and like the energy at the conference is always so beautiful, but it's such a testament to you, because like we didn't even really get to talk. The music was so loud. So we're just like, what? Like, we're just like hyping each other up, having the best time. And it's, you know, I was like, I want to have like a longer conversation with you. So I'm really excited to dig into this today with you. So when did your alopecia journey start, Felicia?
Mine started back in, I want to say, I had my daughter in 2000. And 2000. And I want to say maybe a year later, I just started noticing like little spots. And I had a full head of hair, but it was like little tiny spots, but it would grow back like in a few weeks. And then it just got worse. And then like in 2007, I had like a sew-in weave. And then I took it out, and it was just literally clumps of hair just coming out. Like, it was so bad. And my friends were like, oh my gosh, Felicia, your hair, like, they were more gasping and in tears than I was. Wow. And they were like, no, you need to cut it, because Felicia, you look like you have, you know, you're going through cancer treatment. You can't keep it like this. You have to cut it. It's too much gone. And I mean, it was like literally in bumps of just hair in my hand. And yeah, my friend shaved it, and that was it. And then I just wore a wig. I wore a wig. I was just not, so much was going on at that time personally. And I didn't even at the point care about the hair, you know, so some people have that experience of just being devastated and, you know, it didn't hit me then at all. Cause I was just going through a plethora of stuff that was just deep and traumatic. And I didn't care. I said, okay, well, let's get a wig. There's a wig, just put it on me. I gotta go. Yeah, I got to continue with my life. I cannot worry about being bald. And I will tell you when it actually hit me was when I started dating.
Mm.
That's when it hit me.
Mm.
You know, trying to keep this wig on and trying to hide, per se, my true self and the fact that I was bald and just not being afraid that I wasn't going to be accepted, that was just when it hit me, that the struggle is real.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for saying that because I think sometimes when alopecia, I feel spoiled because I'm 31. I've had alopecia since I was 2. So I really don't know myself without it, but it's like you are becoming a mother. Like that is such a big identity shift. And then to also lose your hair. And so in my experience, a lot of the people I've met, alopecia has come at them at different times in their life when they already have an identity. And so I think it's kind of amazing, you know, I'm so sorry you were going through all of that, but I think to honestly acknowledge sometimes that like alopecia is just one tough thing we're going to potentially go through in our lives. Like there's, you know, not to minimize it because it is really hard, but right. In a way, like I think it can be really like a reclamation of power to acknowledge that like it's not the worst thing. And it's, you know, it sucks that there are worse things that can happen to you because alopecia sucks sometimes. But I really appreciate your honesty and being like, I couldn't really deal with it right away. I kind of just threw on a wig and was like, let's go. Cause I have to deal with all this other mess.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that differs with people. Everyone takes it differently. Mm-hmm. And some people it hits them harder. And other people it's just, okay, what do I do next? Like, how can I live my life? And that's just one of the things that I saw a need to kind of bridge that gap. And I like what you said about, yeah, alopecia is tough and we're not trying to minimize it, obviously, mm-hmm. but there's also a lot of other things that can be detrimental, which is why with BaldyCon, it's inclusive of others with bald heads because when I look at someone, because I have alopecia, I don't necessarily assume that the next person has alopecia. Like they could be going through cancer treatment, right? They could be mm-hmm. going through a lupus episode and don't mm-hmm. have any hair. They could have another hair loss disease that I don't know about. Because why? I get people who come to me and assume that I have cancer. Mm-hmm. You know?
Same.
Right. And it's like, I feel so bad because when they come to me and they just pour their heart out, they're like, oh, my spouse passed away, you know, and I'm just in shock. And I'm like, I empathize with them. And it's just like, I feel almost guilty. Mm. And I don't know if you can relate to this. I almost feel guilty saying I don't have cancer. It's just alopecia. You know what I mean? It's aesthetically not necessarily the most desirable, but it's not life threatening. And mm-hmm. and sometimes I get this guilt and tell me if you feel that way when mm-hmm. they express that to you, like, hey, I have cancer, I have something mm-hmm. that you just feel a little guilty. Like, no, I don't have that, but I feel your sentiments. And I just couldn't mm-hmm. imagine in that situation with that. So that's just one of the, do you deal with that as well?
Yeah, especially, and it's, you know, I hate to say that like, it would happen mostly when I was like a teenager. Like if I had like a job, I worked at like a deli, like in an affluent, like part of Connecticut when I was a teenager. And mm-hmm. a woman just kind of looked at me and she goes, oh, like chemo. And she just like assumed. And it definitely put me on the defensive. And I think it's so crazy. Like I've done other episodes with a friend of mine, actually, that's a personal trainer. And we talk about like her weight. She basically, it's amazing. She's turned her weight loss journey into a business. She's an amazing personal trainer now. And she approaches things from a really great place. And I say that because I feel like women can't win because I've always been petite. I've always been like super skinny. And it's, I think I grew up really conscious of like looking sick. And so when people asked me about that, I was like, oh gosh, like I must look sick, and like not in the hot girl way where it's like, you look sick, girl. Like, but right. I was like, no. Right. So I was much more like, what is them asking to say about me just from a teenager like perspective? I was like, oh gosh. But it's, yeah, I definitely, as I've gotten older and more mature and like take it, you know, I've realized that like what people are saying speaks so much more to them. Like you're a great example of like someone could be looking to you for comfort because they, in their own life, they have someone who has maybe gone through cancer. And so, yeah, I think in those instances, it's, I totally understand like feeling guilt in the sense that you're not who maybe they want you to be in that moment to give you comfort. And I think you still can. Like I had a very close family friend that had cancer and she was super worried about losing her hair. And that was like a whole, she said, she's like guiltily. She's like, I feel like that's like the part I'm the most anxious about. And that's understandable. It's like your identity is yours. And so I hear what you say. And I agree in the sense of like, I feel guilt for not maybe being what they needed in the moment, but what they typically need in the moment is comfort. It's so easy to want to help in every sense of the word, right? Like to offer comfort with the cancer, but it's like, you know, I don't have cancer. That's not my personal experience. But I can understand the hair loss part of it is a whole ball game just because I've had a loved one in my life that told me it's like a whole ball game with her actual cancer experience. So it's so valid to share perspective. And yeah, I totally understand the sense of guilt and that it's like, you feel like you can't be there for that person in the way that maybe they want you to be. And instead of like feeling resentful towards that, I've grown up to be like, oh gosh, like they're going through pain and that's why they're asking me this. So it's helpful to think about that. So you mentioned BaldyCon. You are obviously the founder of BaldyCon and I'm obsessed with that. But before we talk about that, you mentioned also dating and it's so real. Like growing up, I was pretty bald. So I just like, I had crushes on boys, but I always just, my assumption was like, boys will not want to date me. They just won't. And like, obviously I had crushes on boys, like boys are adorable, but I'd be like, that's not going to happen for me. And it really wasn't until high school, like later in high school was when I had a lot of hair, but I've never had a full head of hair. Like I had a big bald spot on my head. And it wasn't until like going into my senior year, I was at just like a very, my sense of self had really been, you know, my close group of friends and I had been through a tragedy. We actually, one of our friends committed suicide going into our senior year of high school. And so we got incredibly close that summer and grew up in these ways, you know, that you do when things like that happen. And so she was someone that really was like to the beat of her own drum. And she would even say to me, like, you should just wear your hair like the way it is. Cause I would cover up like my bald spot with clips or hats or what have you. And so going into my senior year, I stopped covering up. And when I did that, like I was actually friends with this guy, but we were friends. And then like, we fell in love like during our senior year. So like the minute I stepped into myself, like, this thing that I really wanted, but like kind of told myself, like, you don't want it because you just will never get it. And that's okay. And like, that's just what your life is going to be. But it's like the confidence that I had when I stopped covering up and was just like with my friends, like I felt so supported by them because we'd been through this really tough thing. And, you know, he was such a wonderful like first boyfriend. And it was a really great experience. And, you know, while it didn't work out like long term, like, I am so thankful to him just because that was something I really didn't think would ever happen for me. And so it's going into my 20s, like dating. I think the thing that surprised me the most was guys were very like forward. Like because I had a high school boyfriend, we dated off and on through college and like, you know, guys wanted to like sleep together right away. And I was like, that's just not my bag. Like, if people want to do that, fierce, get it. Like, love that. Right. But it's just not my bag. And so with like my recent bout of like hair loss, because I had bangs for a while, but last fall I have my little bit of hair up today. So now in my 30s, I've been navigating dating and like the romantic side of life. And it's true. I feel like that. I feel so confident, like talking to you, going to work like this. I'm making dinner with one of my girlfriends tonight. I'm just going to go like this, like running errands. But it's the dating stuff recently that I feel like is when I'm the most aware of it. So thank you for saying that. Yeah. What was your sort of experience with that?
Dating is, and that's always good to have that first encounter be a good one. Like,
yeah,
come out of, and the guy who I was with at the time was the one who was like, just do it. Just, what are you holding back for? You know? And when I just finally did it and realized like, oh my gosh, I've been missing out. Because it was a time when I was dating and first with the bald and wearing a wig, that I opened up to a guy and everything was going great. We were dating for like 2 months, talking, great conversation. It was just wonderful. So one day I said, hey, he'll be okay. Maybe was my alopecia about it. So I told him, I said, hey, I got something to tell you that I'm really bald underneath my wig. You know, and he was like, no way. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, let me see it. I'm like, well, no, I don't want to show you because, you know, you might judge me. And he was like, no, I'm not going to judge you. I know. Let me see. And I was like, I don't know. Are you sure? And he was like, yeah, let me see. And I showed it to him and he was like, wow. I was like, yeah, right. He's like, you are really bald. I was like, yeah. And he was like, okay. And guess what?
What?
I never heard from him again.
Ugh.
Never heard from him again. And it was that moment that I did not tell any guy I was dating that I was bald underneath. And so then I became this, the wig became this security. And we had this relationship. I had a relationship with my wig because I'm like, girl, you cannot come off because I cannot lose another person.
Oh, wow.
And then in moving forward in dating, what I would do is if they said I loved you, then I would tell them that I was bald. So maybe after him, they may have been about maybe two more just like close relationships, and even one of them I only showed them one time, but it was the last one that I had, that and we was together for a few years, that when I really went bald and expressed. But in between dating, oh my gosh, it was just hard to go on dates and you're hanging out and spending time and trying to do fun things, and it's hot, the wig is slipping, the thing is just like, it became so cumbersome dealing with this wig. It was just weighing me down. You know what I mean? But I couldn't let these guys know what I was going through because I didn't want to be rejected like I did before. Like, that was a huge thing for me.
Of course.
And my friend was like, I told you, girl, don't tell them that you're bald. Don't say that. You don't have to know. But I want to be honest, you know? And that's another thing, you know? Looking back, I felt like wearing a wig, I was lying, you know, that them not knowing that I was bald underneath to me felt like I was living a lie. And going forward, I said, you know what, if I'm going to date and I want them to see me for me and know that this is it, you know what I mean? What you see is what you get. Okay. I'm not going to wear a wig because guess what? I may not wear it all the time. So you're going to meet me in this baldness. And then that's when I became bald and free, which was 2015. I just took the wig off, and the last guy, that my ex, he was just really supportive of it. He was just like, hey, swim, do this. And that's when I was able to, and I realized like, oh my gosh, but over 7 years, this is what I've been missing out on. You know, I've been missing out on the, I just been missing out on this. And so all these things that I love to do, like roller coasters, swimming, just, you know, just a whole gamut of things that now I feel free to do that. And so dating now, it's a relief for me. And as a matter of fact, I got more attention being bald than I did when I wore a wig. Because when you wear a wig, it's kind of like you blend in. You're just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. But it says a lot to a man to see a woman with no hair and still be confident, mm-hmm. or own her femininity and just still walk in it and walk in her truth and be confident and say, this is me. And so, you know, when a guy meets me now, like, what you see is what you get. And it kind of feels good not to have to hide that. So that's my little story.
That's amazing.
But there's a lot of other people that's going through that too. So, you know, it's great that you're having this conversation because, you know, some people may think like, oh, it's only me. Like, no, it's absolutely not only you. I have been rejected before for being bald.
Totally. Yeah. It's, thank you for sharing that. And it's true. Like I'm a support group leader and I meet so many women that are like, I just don't date. I just don't do it. And that breaks my heart because I do understand it sometimes. Like, unfortunately, I think ghosting is something that's really prevalent. Like,
oh,
my friends with the most gorgeous hair you've ever seen in your life also get ghosted. And it's so hard because with ghosting, you have no explanation, right? So whatever you're feeling paranoid about at the time, it's they've left you with a blank and you're filling in that blank with whatever you're struggling with. Right. And at the end of the day, like, I always make this joke where, like, I remember my dad is a basketball coach and he would, like, coach, like, games for middle school kids. And if they got really far, we'd get to, like, go to a hotel and, like, for a weekend and, like, see a bunch of basketball and use the hotel pool and, like, go to dinner. And I remember we were at this hotel and there was, like, a TGI Fridays inside. And we were like, ooh, amazing. And we ordered mozzarella sticks, like, to our room, like, while we were getting ready to, like, go to a game or something. And my brother and I were, like, so excited. We're like, this is such a special occasion. Oh my gosh, so exciting. And we were like, maybe tomorrow night, like, we'll go to the TGI Fridays. And my parents were like, yeah, like, well, maybe. And these, so we ordered mozzarella sticks. And these mozzarella sticks were, like, waterlogged. Like, they just weren't very good. Like, no disrespect to TGI Fridays. I do love the TGI Fridays, but this one, it was not hitting. And so I bring up this story because usually when people are like you said, that guy you were dating for 2 months, like, and no one's perfect, but it's like, if the appetizer sucks, how good is the meal going to be? So it's like, if you've been on a few dates with a guy and he can't even communicate that he's not interested, like, cause it's, I've sent the text being like, hey, I'm not interested, but like, you were so sweet. Thank you so much. Like, it's nothing to do with you. You're just not my match. And like, that's usually what it is. Like I've rejected guys too. And I think about why, and it's usually, and I try to remind myself this when I'm like spiraling about a guy, like not texting back or like not being intentional. And it's most of the time when I reject a guy, I can't really put my finger on it. Like it's just something. There's a spark or like conversation. And like, you know, I mostly use dating apps. So like, I think he's cute. Like I wouldn't be talking to him if I didn't think he was cute. So I think we take those things so personally. And like, I think we build up our whole image with like, did this person want to go out again? Did they want to date me? Did they choose me? And it's like, most of the time, it doesn't really have much to do with you. And if you're not getting an answer, yes, that sucks. And that's so painful. And it's so easy to be like, oh, it's because of my alopecia. Right. And I actually had a really good friend say to me, and this kind of applies, I think, to both of us, because not only are we fierce, beautiful, sexy women with alopecia, but we also do a lot of work with our, like, you know, with the podcast, with BaldyCon, with NAF, like, so my friend, like, devil's advocate, like, she didn't say this because she was like, it could be your problem. She was just like, okay, so what if that is the reason? Then, like, do you like this guy enough that, like, you're going to change your approach with how you present? Are you going to stop volunteering for NAF? Are you going to stop doing your, you know what I mean? Like,
no, yeah, and no. No,
it's such a big part of my personality. And it's, yeah. And for people that maybe alopecia is something that they keep closer to the chest and they're struggling with, like that makes sense. But it's like, we know how we feel best. And like, whatever it is, like, you mm-hmm. shouldn't, A, if someone's not communicating that early on, like, the appetizer sucks, the meal's not going to be good either, I promise.
No, it's not.
I always say, and not, again, not to minimize alopecia, but it's like, if he can't handle this, he can't handle much. Cause like you said earlier, like, there's so much else that could go on. And when you're in a relationship, like, you need that support. And like, yeah, I've had wonderful men like be completely okay with it. Like, I remember telling, I think it was like the first guy I dated like as an adult in New York. And, you know, for me, it comes up pretty naturally because I usually present, however,
right.
Sometimes I'll wear like a headscarf or something, but it usually comes up with like, what do you like to write about? What do you like to do for fun? Because I love my alopecia work so much. And I told this guy, and there's always like like you were saying, roller coasters. It's always like a little like you're teetering up and you're like, I'm going to tell him. And it's like, I'm not going to not tell him because like,
right,
you know,
right.
But there's always kind of an inhale when you say it. And I was like, yeah, I have alopecia. And so like, I do a lot of work for it. And he literally like, there was a pause. And then he was like, you know, like, I actually think Natalie Portman was like the most beautiful when they shaved her head in V for Vendetta.
Yeah.
And I dated that guy for like a summer.
I love that movie, by the way.
Such a good movie.
Yeah. Like, that's good that he had that support for you. You know what I mean? Like, because sometimes we do kind of get scared. Should we say something? Should we not? Like, how is it going to work? And we have to go for it. You know what I mean? Literally, you just have to what's the worst? What's the worst thing that could happen? They help you out by saying they're not interested because of that. Well, you just did me a favor because I don't have to waste another second thinking or wanting to be with you or fantasizing about being with you.
Mm.
And if they say they're not sure, but they want to hang out, well, okay. Everybody has different flavors or different cups of, you know, so let's just hang out and see how it works and see how you're able to deal. If you're not, then it's okay. You can go. My thing is that I'd rather someone not waste my time, right? So guess what? If I'm not your cup of tea or dating someone that's ball is not your cup of tea and you don't approach me, so be it. It is okay. Mm-hmm. That's why I want to live in my truth because you would have to approach me. If you see me in my authentic self, whether it be visually, whether it be interaction, and that's something that, oh my gosh, I have to get to know her more, but you see me as I, great. And that's what I want. But I'm not going to chase anybody down because I don't know what their flavor is. I don't know how they'll take it. And it takes a certain individual. It takes a certain individual to be able to be with a bald person because number one, we're not society's norm, right? Of what beauty should look like, quote unquote. And that's something that they're going to have to be confident in how they feel walking side by side with you. You know what I mean? So I want that confident person, that confident guy to come to me if he's interested in me. And that's why I live in my baldness because I'm not going to always wear a wig and I'm not going to, you know, I want you to meet me for who I am. If this is something that you want to do, then you have that confidence. Then that's probably the person that is for me, you know, and I want women to embrace themselves so that way they can find their authentic person as well. You know, because when you live in your authentic truth, then that you're drawn, the other person you're drawn to each other, you know. And I want all women to feel that sense of empowerment and knowing that somebody is going to want you just how you are, you know, just how you are.
I say this to people that ask me about dating. You can't count yourself out because if we all did that, like no one would date each other. And it's not just exclusively, again, like I'm such a firm believer, like the greatest gift alopecia has given me is that everyone has something they're really afraid to like talk to someone else about. Like they think like, is this the deal breaker? And it's, if being you is the deal breaker, they're a deal breaker. Like you don't want to do that. And so yeah, thank you for speaking so candidly about that because it's really important. And yeah, I've had like wonderful men that are like so jazzed to like date me, and you've gotta put yourself, like, love is important. And you know, the thing too I think about is like attraction is so subjective. Like I could walk into a bar, like me and my really good friend, like we could walk into the same bar and he's like, this guy's hot, this guy's hot, this guy's hot. And I'm looking at that guy and that guy. And he's like, really? It's just, it's like perfect for us to go out. And like some of my girlfriends.
You never like the same person. Yeah, you guys never like the same guy. So
it's ever. And it's so fun to go out with. And this is like one of my girlfriends too. Like, we're like, oh, this is great. We'll never like fight. We have such different tastes. And it's, everyone's tastes are totally different. And like the thing I know that's like one size fits all that I know all people are interested in, and you know, maybe not romantically, but certainly getting to know you more. And that's how dating starts, is confidence. Like, yeah. So if you're confident, like I'm way more interested in talking to the most confident person in the room rather than like the brooding, like genetic lottery looking dude in the corner. Like, I don't, I'm good.
Looks can fade. You know what I mean? Like, and that's one of the things I'm like, looks, beauty fades.
Yeah.
You know, but that conversation, a person's humor, their character, that stuff stands the test of time. Like, I'd rather that.
Thank you for sharing that about all of, because yeah, dating is definitely, it's a struggle, but it's at the end of the day, it's like, we want, it's like a luxury. We want the tailor-made designer person for us, and we'll be that for someone else. So it's, I think we're both Leos, and I think I just saw this the other day and I was like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with this. It's like, my standards are high because I can provide what I require. And it's like, I require patience, empathy, confidence, kindness. I'm all those things. So like, someone best show up and be those things as well. So
yes, that's how we connect. We are like sisters, okay? That's what connects. You know what I mean? Because I know, and trust me, I have made several mistakes when it comes to dating. And this is just outside of having the alopecia. There's other things that you have to worry about too when it comes to dating. But as I've learned, as I'm getting older, is that you shouldn't have to settle for someone that's cheating you anything less than, because with us, myself, and you're Leo, we're givers. We are loving. We're loyal. I'm going to give you, you have got to meet me with that and then some. If you're not going to do that, I don't have anything for you, because at this point in my life, I cannot waste another minute of this goodness on someone that is not going to match or exceed me. You know what I mean? Like, no. You're going to have to, if I'm kind, no, sir. You're going to have to be kind back to me. And then so, you know, and that's just how I'm moving forward.
I want to play that. I want to play that before every date I go on, just like a mantra. Like, just so I want to know a little bit more about how you got to this literal headspace. Cause I think you're just such a beautiful bald woman, but you are so confident in it. So it's obviously a struggle. You're so vulnerable and open about saying that it's been a struggle, but tell me a little bit more about arriving at this headspace.
Well, one of the things is me, myself, and the thing, I don't take depression lightly, right? And that's something that I never wanted to feel bad about something, or have somebody put me in a place that I'm so deep gone that I can't function. You know what I mean? And I'm a mother, and I was a mother from when I was 20. So it's not just myself that I have to look for. I also have to look for my kids, right? And so that was one of my catalysts, is like, I cannot break or fold, even though it should be okay for one to cry and break down and stuff like that and show emotions and have that confidant. Yes, but I said to myself that I cannot let one thing or one person control my happiness, period. Like, I just can't. Like, no. If it doesn't suit me anymore, and some situations may take me longer than others to break hold from, but I know in my mind what's not right, what doesn't make me feel good. And I realize that I have to take that responsibility of getting myself out of that, because I want to be happy. And you have to literally choose every day to say, I want to be happy. Like, you have a choice, you know, and whatever it is that could be blocking that choice, then that's when you need to talk it out and you need to work on it and stuff like that. But as for me, I choose to, I like being happy. And I don't even know how to say this without even being, it's not even a cocky thing. It's just more like, no, I like being happy. I like to be happy spaces. Like, I don't like to be drunk and out of my, out of my mind. I don't like to be out of control. I like to be in control of my thoughts, my mind. I don't, because I like my thoughts. They'd be happy thoughts. You know what I mean? I want to be happy, and I like to be around happy people. And sometimes in that situation, people who are going through things, they attract to the light, like dark attracts the light. So you end up and not realizing it being a light to someone, be inspiration to someone and stuff like that. And that brings me joy. Helping people brings me joy. Like, I am a cosmetologist since I've been doing hair since high school. I've been a licensed cosmetologist since like 2006. So I do hair, right? And wow. I deal with a lot of women who they have alopecia, they hide it, and they're not even confident to even come out and live that. But I like to make people feel good. You know, so I like, you know, doing their hair, making sure they look nice and they feel confident about themselves. Like, I like being a flight attendant. I like working with people. I like making people feel good. I like, you know, greeting them with a smile. I like saying thank you. I like saying goodbye. You know, like, it's just, that's what I choose to be. And so that's probably my third, because I'm not saying that my life was peaches and creams. Absolutely not. But through all the hardships that I've been through life, it has caused me to, it's a healing for me to help people, because it helps me with my, because I wish I had that kind of help, right? Mm-hmm. I wish that I had somebody pour into me to motivate me, to inspire me, to be a support system for me, to encourage me. Like, I wanted that growing up and to where I am now. And so therefore, in my ability now, healing for me is being able to do that for other people and being able to share that. And so going back to BaldiCon, that's how that came about, as far as I've been working on it for a few years. And that BaldiCon is me, you know, it's me healing other people. It's a healing thing for me, providing something, providing an event for everyone to come and connect. And just embrace each other, empower each other, inspire each other, and just to be celebrated. Like, this is something for us to make us feel good. And, you know, they do it all the time with the other stuff. And, you know, you got beauty pageants, you got this and that. No, well, why not we have something for us, you know, for bald people to celebrate us? And that's what BaldiCon is. It's a healing journey, not only a healing journey for myself, it's a healing journey for others as well, for us to connect and truly help each other. And even to the people that support, because I don't want to leave those people out, because we need that support.
Yes.
We need people to encourage us, people who are not bald, to say, hey, look, no, you're doing a doggone thing. And we need to hear that sometimes. So I appreciate all who are in support. And this will just be one of those events that will happen every year. So be on the lookout. We're going to expand for next year. I will give you a little hint. We are working on taking it international. I'm not going to tell you where, but just know that.
Okay, Baldi's going international.
BaldiCon is going international as well. And that's really what I want. You know, women who are struggling with their self-esteem or their confidence, I want them feeling that they are the best thing since sliced bread.
Alicia, you are the best thing since sliced bread. I just, talking to you is just so healing and great. And I did, you touch on, so the ball gowns, you are like a fashionista. Like, going through your Instagram, I was like, it's because it's, I'm always so, I follow a lot of bald women, obviously, and I recommend other women follow bald women, because I think having your feed on Instagram, like, be, you're like, oh, she's like, I think that helps kind of like reprogram yeah. your brain to be like, no, like bald women can get it. Like,
right.
And you're like, every time I see you, the fit is fierce. You like, you're a beautiful bald woman. And like, you, I feel like you've really honed like your style in presenting like without a wig. So can you talk to me a little bit about like your style? Like, obviously there's so much beauty like going on inside, but I think you've just really got it. Like, I feel like I've lost more hair like since I was a little kid than I ever have. And so I've been kind of honing like, you know, feeling feminine in like different ways and like how I like to present best. But looking at you, it's like a mood board. I'm like, I want to do that. I want to wear that jumpsuit. I want to wear those red bottoms. Like, you always just look incredible. Sweet.
Oh my gosh, Cindy, you are so sweet and beautiful inside. No, I trust me. I appreciate that. And first of all, I'm from Brooklyn, New York. So that's growing up in New York is like one of the fashion capitals of the world. And it was just always, fashion was just always that thing. You know what I mean? And it's always been me. Before not having hair, I've always just been just admired. My uncle is Harold Clark. He designs ball gowns and he's made dresses for Patti LaBelle, Vivica Fox, like Vanna White. You know, and I was always just mesmerized by.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, all the dresses, like growing up, I would see in his studio in Manhattan, because we would like go there to watch like the Thanksgiving Day parade, because it would just come right there by his studio. But just looking at all the gowns and the fashion and the, it was just, I just loved it, being able to just put on something and just say, oh, I, you know. And then I'm so into like finding things on a bargain and a deal, and it's just one of those hobbies that I have that I've always been, that I didn't realize that also helped me in this journey with bald, because I felt like, okay, well, I'll put on a nice outfit, or, you know, I can still be me in that aspect. And what ways can I show up for myself that will take away the attention or take away that of me being bald? And so fashion was just one of those things that I've always been into it. So I so appreciate you. You're so kind and so sweet and beautiful. And yeah, and that's what I want to also convey to women. Like, you are you before being bald. Like, what is it that you love to do? And hold in on your passion. That being bald and not having, yes, it's you, but that's not only you, you know? And I want us to more so focus on our passion, our joys, and let that shine through. Let that be your beacon of hope when it comes to dealing with alopecia or just any kind of just being bald. Just have that, you know, lean on to that. So yeah, fashion is my vice.
Yeah. Oh, it's you rock it beautifully. And I feel like you just tied the whole conversation together so gorgeously, because it's like, and I've said this to people in dating too. It's like, alopecia is one thing about me. Like, I'm passionate about my alopecia work, but it is literally one thing about me. And that's what I tell people that are much more timid and like trying to hide their alopecia. It's like, it's one thing about you. And if someone, like, if I tell you one thing about me and how you react is like, how you react could tell me everything I need to know about you. And so it's like, it's, and same with fashion. It's, I feel so similarly. Like, my best friend Kate's a photographer. And so she's obsessed with like seeing different things beautifully. Like, she has such an eye, and, you know, she's so sweet. I can like vent to her, like be vulnerable with her about like my hair loss. And she's like, girl, with those cheekbones, who needs hair? And like, it's, and you have such beautiful cheekbones too. I was thinking the same thing. Thank you. But it's like, I'm a big fan of the show Queer Eye, and like Tan France was saying to one of the people that he was making over, he was like, I could be wearing the most ridiculous outfit, but if I think I look wicked, like, you can't tell me shit. And it's so true. It's like, if you feel great in yourself, like,
you can't tell me anything.
It's just part of it. And it's, and again, that is attractive to men. That's attractive to people. And so it's like, you have to do that for yourself. So, I feel like this was just like a serotonin boost talking to you.
You are so dope. That's why I was like, no, you're like my, I'll tell you, when he's on the dance floor, I'm like, this is my soul sister. She doesn't even know it.
Well, you have to tell me when you're in New York, because we gotta get drinks. We gotta kiki. We gotta find another dance floor and just have a great time. You're just everything. And I hope that people, I definitely want to come to a future BaldiCon for sure. It was just great energy the minute I met you. So thank you so much, Felicia.
Thank you so much, Lindsay. This was everything. I just cannot wait for us to connect further because we have to continue this.
Yes. And I'm going to do something that's probably so annoying and happens to you all the time, but it'll be really fun for me when I say bye, Felicia.
Bye, girl.
Very Nearly Almost was conceived, created, hosted, produced, written, and edited by me, Lindsay Sullivan. Follow at Very Nearly Almost or at LynnSully1021, that's a double S in there, for updates on the pod and much more. Kelsey Logan created the gorgeous theme music with Chef's Kiss Music Production by Colin Coogan. The incredible logo art was created by graphics wizard Ryan Casey and inspired by photographer extraordinaire Caitlin McNaney. You can check the art out right next to the subscribe button. As the kids say, I'd hit that. See you next time.